substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith was first activated by God. For we understand through faith that the worlds were created, were framed by the words of God. Even God created the earth by faith. So faith is not what humans make use of only. You have to understand that. Faith is like a, is a heavenly currency. You know, some people say that, you know, we think that faith belongs to man. And that's why we think sometimes that faith fails. Faith cannot fail. You see, faith cannot fail. If it didn't work, it was not faith. I told you, and I taught you the difference between faith and hope. Many times we are hopeful, not working on faith. Oh, I have faith that I will be blessed. Can you have faith that you will be blessed? You can have faith that you will be blessed. That's tautology. If you have faith, then you are blessed. When you say, I have faith that I will be blessed, you are saying, I hope. That is hope. Hope does not produce your results. It is faith that does. But hope is needed for faith to work on. That's why it is called the substance of things hoped for. When there is no hope in place, faith cannot manifest. So I know you have hopes. I know you have hopes. Now you can turn your hopes to reality. How? By working on faith. Faith. Your hopes become a reality. You are hoping that one day you will do this and do that. Now it can happen. How will it happen, brethren? I can't hear you. Faith. I want to take you somewhere tonight. I'm praying. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Let me tell you why. When you know these things, you have known them. 50 years from now, you are utilizing them. The Bible says God has given to every man the measure of faith. That's a definite article. The measure, not a measure. If it had been a measure, it would have meant that everybody got a particular level of faith. But he said the definite article. There is a measure of faith that is given to everybody. It's the. God has given to every man the. The measure of faith that every man needs has been given. Now it is left for you to develop it. Work on that faith. Let it produce the different realms of results you're expecting. The disciples said, why couldn't we cast out this devil? Jesus said, because you didn't have faith. Now, what was Jesus trying to say? Was he saying they didn't have faith at all? No. Jesus said, you didn't have the faith required for this level of miracle. That's why he said, this cometh not but by fasting and prayer. If you want this level of result, this faith must be activated this way. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody say, I have faith. Now you have faith, whether anybody tells you or not, the fact is you have faith. You have it. Because if you didn't have faith, you would not even be here. Every man has the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Tell anybody, you have the measure of faith. You know, that's why Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, he was trying to tell you, because every faith level starts as a seed. You have to cultivate it, exercise it, grow it, until it begins to do big things. You know, we are all praying for dimensions of faith. Lord, this thing has to happen. Grow your faith. That's what you need. Grow your faith. Grow your faith. There are some instructions I've given to some of us. I said, do this and do this, and you got the result. I was pushing your faith. I was working your faith. Glory to Jesus. So just trying to let you remember some of those things that we talked about. So let me go further now. And then we said Romans chapter 10 verse 17.
Let's look at that.
I'm excited. I don't know why I'm saying so. I think I'm just excited. Are you there? What does it say? Let's read together. If you're with your Bible, everybody get to your Bible because we're going to read together. Are you there? Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Let's read. 1, 2, go. Not everybody's there. I want you to get there. You see, we're almost used to checking the screens for scriptures. Go to your own Bible. Are you there? Okay, so if you're with the New King James, you can read loud. Other versions, follow us. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. So then, you see that? So I told you last week, faith comes by hearing, and it didn't say hearing the word of God. It says hearing by the word of God. That means faith comes through hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Your hearing comes by the word of God. Now, tonight I want to expose more to you. How does faith work? How do I turn my faith loose? How do I make it work for me? That's what I want to show you now. Because many of us have said, Pastor, I had faith. It didn't work. I know what I'm saying. I had faith. No. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you had hope. Or maybe your faith was not grown enough to produce what you were expecting. So let's see. Or maybe you didn't turn your faith loose. There might be power supply somewhere, but if you don't go and plug your device or switch it on, it won't work. Some of you have faith, but you're not switching on your faith. Your faith is perpetually dormant. It's on potential energy. It's not kinetic. You know, isn't it painful to know there are children of God with power who are doing nothing about it? You know, some people said, when we get to heaven, well, let's just get to heaven. Some of you, when you get to heaven, angels will be waiting with koboku. I'm not joking. You disgrace them. Because you had the capacity to do some things you didn't do. They'll wait for you with koboku. Say, when is Brother John coming? As you're entering heaven, say, lie down there. Some of you need koboku. Do you know how many things you can do? Do you know? Do you know, as you're seated, do you know what you can produce? Say, let me just live my life. No, don't just live your life. Live your life to the fullest. Fullest. Let me just be okay. You can't just be okay. How can you just be okay? You have to be more than okay. You have to be a blast to your world. Look at some of you now. By the time our project is over, some people will be saying, you know what? I didn't know I could give 5 million. I didn't know I could give 10 million. Yes. Yeah. No, that's the way it works. I didn't know. See, if all you do is what you have the capacity to do, then faith is not at work. I wish I were talking to somebody. Faith is at work when you do more than you ever thought you could do. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? When you need God in your story, then faith is at work. Somebody say amen. You think you can do some things. Don't worry. When you turn your faith loose now, you will see what will happen. Oh Lord, just give me a 2-bedroom flat. You think you can buy a house this year? Don't worry. When you turn your faith loose. Somebody's laughing at you now. It's because you have not turned your faith loose. Hiya. Can I tell you some stuff? Hiya. By the time match is over, some of you, your faith would have started producing unusual results. Hiya. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, results are coming. Results are coming. Results are coming. Tell him, results are coming. Results are coming. Tell him, you're about to celebrate with me. You're about to celebrate with me. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Lift up your voice and shout amen. Brother, when faith is at work. Oh, no. Let me relax. I'm trying to get myself. I need to teach with my lesson notes. I feel like blasting now. I want to move into another dimension where I need to teach you some things. I want you to see some things first. Are you hearing me? Ha, 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 ha. Your faith is going to produce whatever they thought cannot happen because of the level of your faith. Things are going to begin to happen to you. Listen, let me give you 30 seconds. Think about that thing that must happen this year. Just think about it where you're sitting. Think about it now. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Can you see that picture? Can you see it happening? Can you see it happening? Now I declare in the name of Jesus, as you exercise your faith, those results are coming your way. Sit down. I want to show you stuff. I want to show you stuff. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So this is the sequence. I want to teach you the sequence now. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I'll read from verse. Where can I read from now? Let me read from verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, what happens? Confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be here. You either believe this thing or the word of God is lying, and the word of God cannot lie. It cannot lie. That's where I can fight with anybody, because the word of God cannot lie. Anything may fail, but his word cannot fail. I wish you were hearing me. I said anything can fail, but the word of God cannot fail. His word is established forever. Now look what it says. Whoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. Tell your neighbor, you see why I cannot be put to shame? I cannot be disgraced. I cannot be put to shame. Whatever I said will happen, will happen. Whatever I'm asking for will come to pass, because I cannot be put to shame. Hey, yeah. Someone says, I pray the devil will not put me to shame. Hey, you cannot be put to shame. Are you hearing me? I cannot be put to shame. If I say it, it's coming to pass. If I see it, it's coming to pass. Somebody shout amen. So let's go back verse 10. Verse 10 again, I want to show you again. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now this is the process of faith. The process of faith is a cycle. And I'll show you why it's a cycle. Many of us have believed in one part, but I'm going to show you now it's a cycle. Oh, it's a cycle. And you know what I want to do tonight? Just believe the word of God. Look at three people around. Tell, just believe. Just believe. Tell him whether it goes with your psychology or not. Just believe. You know, because if you're trying to phantom out what the word of God is saying, you will lose. That's where the problem is. Many of us, we have become thermos. If I don't see, I cannot believe. God says, blessed are those who have not seen. That means they only heard. They have not seen. Yet, they have believed. I believe in the word of God. How many of you believe in the word of God? Say, I believe, I believe, I believe. Faith is a cycle. How do you let loose your faith? How does your faith get to start working? That's what I want to show you now. So get ready. I want to show you. How does your faith work? How do you put your faith to work? There is a formula. I told you last week, everything has a formula. There is a formula. There is a way to make it happen. There is a way. There is a way. There is a way. There is a way. Nicodemus asked Jesus a question. Jesus said, there is a way, except, that's the way, a man be born again. He cannot see. It's a way. You fight it, it doesn't change anything. You disbelieve, it doesn't change, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. They say, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter. There is a way. Everything has its way. How do I make my faith work? How come they brought a boy to Jesus and the disciples did everything they could? They had seen Jesus do. They did everything they had seen. The boy was not delivered. Then the father came to say, you know what, sir? Please help my son. I brought those boys to the disciples. They tried, but they couldn't cast them out. Jesus said, bring him to me. He said, bring him to me. The Bible says when the demon saw Jesus, it convulsed the boy. Boy started shaking. Jesus said, come out of him. The boy fell down. The Bible said people around thought he was dead. Because all of a sudden, things just stopped. Shh. They were looking. What kind of deliverance is this one again? Everybody was looking. Mm-hmm. You see? Finally, they have killed the boy. That's what happens when you're using your faith. It comes to a ground. People think that it's all over. Say, finally, he's running mad now. Look how he's behaving. They don't know that it is at that point. Hey, it is at that point that something is about to happen. Are you hear what I'm talking about? When men start mocking your faith, when people start laughing at the actions you're taking, it is at that point that God is about to show up. God is going to show up in your life. Then Jesus said, take him up. And they picked him up and the boy was okay. Disciples were wondering, but we said, come out of him. We laid hands. Matthew went to the back. James did like this. What was happening? Nothing happened. So it's not about the style. You didn't have the capacity of faith required. How do I make my faith work? It's a cycle. The cycle, are you ready? Is to hear, to believe, and to speak. Now, I'm going to show you some deep stuff tonight. I wish you were ready for it. To hear, what again? To believe, and then to what? Now, let me tell you why it's a cycle. Because I'm going to ask you a question. Where does it start from? Where does the process start from? Huh? Again? Again? You are wrong. You are wrong. You see, that's why I have to show you these things. So where does the cycle start from now? I know you will not talk. Huh? See what PhD others are saying. The cycle starts from anywhere. I'll show you. It's in the Word. Our textbook is here, so no problem. I'm not teaching without the textbook. The cycle starts from anywhere. You see, we have been taught that this is where the cycle starts from. And so I was expecting to say here. Because I say faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. But the same Bible says, how shall they hear? Without a preacher who is talking to them. And how can you speak if you don't even believe what you're saying? It's a cycle. The problem is we have been taught that if you don't start this way, your faith will not work. I'm going to show you tonight. Start from anywhere. I'll show you. Don't worry. For some of you, you are convenient starting from hearing. For some of you, it is when you speak it that you hear. Watch. Some of you will not hear until you speak it to yourself. People have been telling you are blessed, you are blessed. You have never heard one day. Just start telling yourself everywhere you go, you are blessed. As you start hearing it by yourself, you start feeling it by yourself. Have you heard people who told themselves lies until they believed the lie? I'm just giving you an introduction. I'm about to enter the real place. Because I want to show you about these things. See, because when you leave here this night, you see, I don't believe in leaving and then just being blessed by preaching. No, I want you to utilize these things. And I want to show you how to utilize them, how to make use of it. So when you get home, you practicalize it. Are you hearing me? You practicalize it. Glory to Jesus. The cycle is to hear, to believe, to speak, to hear, to believe, to speak, to hear, to believe, to speak, to hear. Are you hearing me? That's why it's called a cycle. It doesn't stop. Because when you hear, you believe, then you speak to hear again. So you believe to speak to hear again. Many of you are stuck in your level of results because you stopped hearing. You stopped hearing because you stopped speaking. Oh, I wish I were talking to someone. You stopped speaking because you stopped believing. You stopped believing. It's a cycle that you must forge ahead with. It must not stop. I wish I were talking to somebody. I said it must not stop. Hey, Karabakaya. It must not stop. Look at your neighbor, tell him it must not stop. So let me go further. I don't want to waste time on hearing and believing. I told you about believing last week. Believing is, you have to believe dogmatically. I told you believing is from where? The heart. I said you can't believe with your head. If you believe with your head, you are not believing. Believing comes from the heart. And I gave you examples, you remember? You should remember my example. All the icons, you remember my example. Icons, do you remember my example? Just like when you fall in love with your heart. You know when you fall in love? When your mother says, don't go to his house. Do you hear? When you are in love, they say, don't marry. Do you hear? They are wasting their time. Because this thing is coming from your heart. No time to use your head to gauge it, even though that's dangerous. Can you believe AS, and you'll be encouraged and say, the Lord will do it. You know why? Their head is not thinking. No, you'll be telling them the dangers. You know, AS, the risk is that SS can come out of it. As you are saying, you're on your own, Pastor. You're on your own. You're just on your own, because as we did, their head cannot think. See, every time God says, you are a victor, and you are trying to think it, am I a victor? You are using your head. You are using your head. Because if it is your heart, there is nothing anybody wants to say. It doesn't matter what the devil is trying. I am a victor. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conqueror. Can you imagine the Bible says you are more than a conqueror? And you are trying to see it, to know whether it is true or not? Then you are using your head. But when I use my heart, I believe everything the Bible says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When they say there's an accident somewhere, say, not me, because the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody shout amen. I want to give you a word now. And I want you to use your heart to believe it. Now, look at what's going to happen. Now, some of you may use your head because you have not heard me enough. But some of you now are going to use your heart. Are you going to use your heart? Now, look at what happens when they use their heart. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the word now. Now, look at what happens. Those of you who want to use your head, be looking at those who are using their heart to see what happens to them. Okay. So let me give you a word. This is the word of God. Isaiah chapter 61. God says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Let me tell you something. Do you know, if you use your heart to believe it, You can hear such a word and be running home. You will not be comfortable anymore. No matter what anybody tells you, you say, you know what? I was told to arise. It will shine, for my life has come. Somebody shout amen.
Hey, hey. Oh, Lord. Hey. Oh. Oh.
Can I give you another one? Don't believe with your head, oh. What are you going to believe with? Oh, God. There are people who are still trying to use their head when they're still trying to figure it out.
Arise, but I'm not rising now. See, I'm not shining. Am I shining?
They are using their head. Oh! 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 Do you know the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might become rich. If you believe that with your heart, go to 10 people, tell them, I'm rich, I'm rich. You can't tell me otherwise. I'm rich. I am rich. I don't care what the nation says. I don't care what the government says. I am rich. A few years ago, there was a research made. It's online. The research says that Christians live longer than any other religion on earth. And they said because they have at least one Sunday to be happy in a week. They got the research right. They didn't get the reason right. Because they ought to know we are living longer, not because we have one Sunday to be happy, but because we have a sure word of prophecy that says, I will fulfill the number of your days. Hey, oh my God. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Lift up your voice and shout amen. Sit down. Let me move further. This is believing. Believing. I already told you 2 weeks ago or last week on hearing by the word. Now this is believing, but I want to go to the main one tonight. The main one is talking. The scripture calls it confession. Whether confession, whether profession, or analysis, is talking. You don't confess by action. You confess with your mouth. It's talking. And I want to show you from the scripture. See, the reason why I need to show you this is because I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to show you a difference tonight that will deliver many of us. And I'll tell you why I needed to show you this and why people will insult you after now. You know, I'm happy because things have really changed. I'm happy because when a new generation understanding the word of God, I wish I were talking to someone. I told you last week, I said before Jesus came, people were rich. You remember? So somebody might wonder, so what did Jesus come to do? It was not about being rich. People were okay. People were praying before Jesus came. But when he came, it brought a difference to it. The world changed because one man brought a new way of doing it. So don't say, but our father did not do this now, but they bought car. No. Do you want to live like your father? Okay, you want to have one house and one car, and be bamboozling people on the street? Is that all your life is about? Is that what you want to do? You don't want to have people that you are giving houses to. Say, you pick this one, you pick this one. Then they say, he's a nation. He's a nation. Are you hearing me? Don't stop thinking to live like all those old stuff. Do you know that cars are not just getting better by shape? They're getting more expensive. Somebody sent me a car yesterday that we're going to send. $48,000. That's even cheap. $48,000. That's even very cheap. Could our fathers buy that one? 504. 6,000. Someone says it was difficult to get then. It's not true. It's not true. I'm moving to realms where I hope you know that very soon there'll be cars without drivers. The world has changed. You stop analyzing the world by how all the G's that your parents give you, trying to threaten you with what they did. Say, my son, gone are the days. Say, thank you, sir. Gone are the days. When television was a box, and you are teaching me, gone, I should be happy. I'll be missing the box. Say, gone are the days. Nowadays, in your days, even television station will start 4 p.m. and still close by 12 with national anthem. Say, gone are the days. Tell them, thank God, gone are the days. I'm excited to live in these days. I'm telling you. Watching something on yesterday, where now you go, Amazon has supermarkets now, where you go, you don't have to pay. Pick up the stuff, put them in your pocket, and walk out. As you walk out, it charges you. Yeah. It just charges you. As you pick those things, everything has sensors. Just put them in your pocket or put them in the tray, whatever, and go. Don't go to any cashier. It knows what you have taken, charges you from your card. And if your card is to decline, the officers will be waiting for you. Because it charges you at stepping out. And they say, gone are the days. Gone are the days when we go to market. Market is smelling like... If you don't upgrade your market now, Jendol is... Sorry. I'm doing advert. Let me talk to you about speaking. This is the part you need to hear. Because this is the part many people don't do. And I'll tell you why they don't do it. And I'll help you change your mindset. Because this is where the trouble is. See, many of you, if I were to ask you, you have done the hearing part. Come on, talk to me. Have you been hearing? Many of you have been believing. Have you been believing? The problem is you have not been talking. And I'll tell you why you have not been talking. I'll show you from the word of God. You have not been talking because you don't even know how to talk. Because sometimes when you talk, people fight you. Or you feel guilty of talking. Because when you talk, you think that you are boasting. I'm going to show you something tonight. Brother, after tonight's meeting, everybody's vocabulary must change. I'm telling you what I'm about to teach you. After now, if I hear you speak the wrong way, we will fight. Your vocabulary must change. They must know that you're a child of Zion. Hallelujah. They must know that you come from a place where the streets are made of gold. Oh, The prince is not boasting when he talks about the wealth of a king. He's only telling you who he is. I wish I were talking to somebody. Let me show you now. Let me talk about the speaking part. Confession. Somebody say confession. When you look at Romans chapter 4, Are you there? This is the part. I'm so happy about this part because I want to show you some stuff, a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff to show you. Let's go from verse 9. Oh, no, let's go from verse 13. For the promise that it would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, you need to understand, a lot of people have read the book of Romans, we always don't understand it because it's about righteousness, law, faith, and let me give you a bit of a hint. Now, Romans is more about talking about faith and talking most especially about what is called the law of faith, because faith is a law. If you exercise it, it works. That's why it's a law. A law is a proven fact. You do this, this is what happens. Are you hearing me? Now, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who have the law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. God says, when it comes to the activation of faith, when God was talking to Abraham and he said, I'll give you the whole world. When God promised Abraham the blessings, it was not to Abraham only, but to everybody connected to Abraham. Everybody, you and I. In other words, because we are connected to Abraham, if we utilize faith, we will get the result. Just like Abraham did. Are you hearing me? Okay, now let's go to verse. Let's continue from 16. Who is the father of us all? As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead. Now listen. Let's go from there. Very important. I want to see something there. That should be verse. As it's written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, which is God, who gives life to what? The dead. And does what? Calls those things which do not exist. Now this part is telling you who God is as the father of Abraham. That Abraham acted according to God. Now, it's telling you the kind of God we serve. He gives life to the dead. When something is dead, your business, whatever it is, dead, God can give it life. That's what he's saying. He gives life to the dead. But that's not the part I'm going. He calls those things that be not. This is how God operates. God starts by calling. Even God starts by calling. No wonder Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And God said, starting point. And God said, sir, who bewitched us that we should stop saying? If our father started with what he said, what should you start with? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Why? It is in his nature to call those things which do not exist as though they did. This is the first formula for faith. When the Bible says we understand that the walls were framed by the words of God, that God himself activated faith. This is what he did. He called those things that be not as though they were. Now notice, he didn't say he called those things that be not as the way they will be. Now, he didn't also say he calls those things that be as though they were not. Now, I'm going to explain this to you, because this is what a lot of people do. I'm going to also show you from the scripture some of these things. Okay, let's go to the Bible. I want to show you this. There's something I want to show you. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, right? Good. Romans chapter 4. Now, go to verse... Okay, let's continue here. Let's continue. Next verse. So we'll see it very soon. Who contrary to hope in hope? Who contrary to hope? Now, I don't have time to explain this, but let me just tell you what it means. Who contrary to hope in hope believed? Another verse is believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope? What's the Bible saying? Against hope. That means his case was hopeless. That means his case was against hope. It had no reason for hope. And I'll show you why he said so. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall it be. Next verse. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100. Now, this is where you need to know. I told you, God didn't say he calls those things that be not, that be as though they were not. And I want to explain what that means to you. Now, he says he did not consider his own body already dead. Now, the Bible did not say he did not consider his body because his body was alive in trying to speak faith. The Bible says his body was dead. Life. Life. I told you last week, faith does not deny the fact. But faith denies the fact, the capacity to rule over what you believe. Already, he said he did not consider his own body already dead. He did not consider. The scripture says his body was dead. Life. How can the body of a 100-year-old man not be dead? We know it was dead. Faith does not say, faith does not call those things that be as though they were not. Faith does not say, oh, the cancer is not there. The cancer is not there. The cancer is not there. Mm-mm, that's not faith. The cancer is there. But faith says, I'm healthy. I don't consider it. I don't consider it. You see, when you keep talking about the problem, you are hailing the devil. Whatever you are scared of, you keep talking about it. Consciously or unconsciously. I'm not poor. This is where a lot of so-called Pentecostals miss it. We keep stressing what the devil wants to hear. I'm not poor. When you keep saying you are not poor, even the devil is laughing at you. You are poor. You are poor. Can't you see? If not, you will not be shouting, you are not poor. But I don't consider poverty. Mm-mm. I am rich. Because that's what the Bible says. I wish I were talking to someone. I am rich. I am blessed. I am healthy. I am strong. That's what the Bible says. I don't consider what the doctor said. I don't consider what the enemy said. I consider what the Bible says. Somebody shout amen. I'm coming. I want to show you something. I'm just trying to show you about that. Since he was by 100 and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Her womb was really dead, right? But it wasn't considered. See, the doctor may give you a report that you don't like. Stop carrying it everywhere. That's your first problem. Even the number of people you have told shows that there's no faith. That means you are considering it. Now, when you consider something, everybody must hear about it. I wish I were talking to someone. See, they say, I have diabetes. I have diabetes, but I know I don't have. That's no faith. You see, that's why I said many of us have not been exercising faith. You think it was faith. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to pay my school fees. I don't know. There's no money. But I know God will do it. Mm-mm. My school fees is paid. Money is available to me. I'm being provided for supernaturally. You don't consider that. Forget that. Whenever you consider those things, there are steps you can't take because you are considering the wrong things. Are you hearing me? You're considering the wrong things. Listen to me, brother. Let me go to the last part of it now. This whole thing is about talking. Because I found that even the talking can lead to the hearing, which will eventually lead to the believing. Listen, many of us hear too many wrong things. And I'm concerned. Many of you don't know that the things you heard yesterday unconsciously, whether voluntarily or not, is affecting your life. So, Pastor, I don't know, I'm addicted to pornography. What were you watching when you were young? See, you don't know things of many years ago show up in our lives many years to come. It's not only sight, it's talking too. You know, I was listening to somebody yesterday and I said, I see why some of these people die the way they die. Sometimes we pity them. I'm talking about some of these conductors. I'm very sorry. Have you heard some of them talk before? I was coming yesterday, one of them said, the world shook me. It looked like I was in another village. Like, am I okay? You know? Like, really? See. Look at what they're saying. Look at what they keep saying. Now, somehow, maybe a car hits them, something happens, they die. We see and we... Oh, do you know what has been said? Do you know? Some of you now, you are playing with some words. Tell them I can't come, I'm sick. Continue. When sickness appears to you like a dragon. Oh, keep talking. I'm not really okay. You are not okay. If angels should take that one and interpret it, you are not okay. That means you are mental. You are running mad. You're not okay. And it won't happen now. Because that's the mistake we make. Because there's no immediate effect. We think it has gone. Brother, you're making a mistake. Let me tell you something. Can I teach you something today? God said, so shall my beast, so shall my word be such that goeth forth. It shall not return unto me void. Let me teach you something. Many of us think it's only the words of God that does not return void. Even the words of men does not return void. Anything you say will have to go around. It will come back to you except you find a word that negates it. If not, it's coming back to haunt you. Do you know we never knew? If Jesus didn't tell us, we wouldn't have known. Jesus said, when the devil is driven out of someone, he said, it will go. If Jesus had told us, if he didn't tell us, we wouldn't know. We would have been doing whatever we like. He said, then later it will come back. If he sees that the place is empty, that means he didn't go anywhere. He was still looking for where to stay. Then he will come back to his abode because everywhere is filled. There's no vacancy everywhere. To let you know, how do I know there's no vacancy? The Bible says it will go back and look for those who are unemployed. Because there are unemployed demons who are saying, in case you get employment, call me. In case you get anywhere, we look for space. They are telling, oh my God, they are telling themselves. And the major demon that has been driven out, he's saying, let's hold on. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. He will soon be available. Have you ever heard people say that? Don't worry, the work will soon be available. We will soon be recruiting. And the devil will come back. He says, the place is empty. Say, hey, recruitment don't start. I don't get job. Come. The Bible says it will come with seven other spirits more wicked. Hey. What does that mean? Even when you speak, the words are coming back with seven times more wicked. But some of us don't know. You think you have spoken to the air, it has gone. Some will even say it and then slap themselves. Continue. The slap will chase it away. Don't worry, continue. Because you don't know the meaning of words. The meaning of words. It's dangerous to tell your spouse, I don't love you again. That's very risky. Because once you say it, you have sown a seed. One day you will find a reason why it will not happen anymore. You better start, if you have ever told you, I don't love you again, better go and change it seven times. I love you again, I love you again, I love you again, I love you again, I love you, love again. You don't have to say anything until it penetrates. Because you don't know the meaning of what you're saying. You think you just spoke, you didn't just speak. Everything heard you. Everything heard you. Everything. And you know, there are demons who are happy at such words. You know, there are demons. There are some words they carry. When an angel hears a negative word, it goes away because that's not his word. But when a demon hears it, say, help me, help me. Let me bring it. We are coming back. We're coming back. We're coming back with the word. I wish I were talking to somebody here. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Okay, can I tell you a little bit about speak now? We're about to round up, but I want to show you this because I have to show you this. Let's read 1 Samuel. This will help. 1 Samuel chapter 1, from chapter 17. Let's read from verse 1. I'm going to end here. I need to show you this. Are you ready for this? I need to show you this. This is going to change your life now. This is about to change your destiny. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. Continue. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. You know what that is? My son called me a few days ago. He said, Daddy, I just wanted to know. I'm 6 feet and 2 inches now. I said, come again. I said, I'm 6 feet and 2 inches. I said, so you're trying to tell me that if I see you now, I'll be looking at you like this. He said, yeah. We must stop that food you are eating. 6 feet. I am not 6 feet. Your mother is not 6 feet. You will explain. That's tall, man. Goliath was 6 cubits and a span. Now, that's not 6 feet. That's not 6 feet. 6 cubits and a span is 9 feet, 9 inches. Sir, that is a giant. Can I explain what it means? That Goliath was as tall as where that light gets to. That's it. That's it about that. If you see that, sir, you don't try to find out if you want to fight him. You greet him and go. See, Saul was making a mistake. He would have called everybody together and said, let's begin to serve these people. Have you ever seen a man like that in your life? 9 feet tall. What is the meaning of that? 9 feet man. This was the man that was talking. Next verse. And had a bronze helmet of Zed and was armed with a coat of mail and the weight of course father. Go next verse. I'm going to tell you where to stop. Next verse. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel. Goliath started by talking. Yes. Sir, can I tell you something? This life is about talking. I've come to find out a secret I'm sharing with you now. Sir, the beginning of life is about talking. That's why when a child hasn't spoken, you are not comfortable. He needs to talk. Imagine giving back to a child and child is just will not take it. You will spank him. You will cry. Because if you don't cry, you are not alive. Yeah, we are happy. He is crying, but we are happy. Because you've got to say something. A man who's dumb is already dead. I wish I were talking to somebody here. He stood up and cried to the armies of Israel and said to them, look at what he was saying. Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Look at Goliath. Look at what he's saying. The Israelites were on the other side. Look at what he's saying. The guy get liver. Choose a man for yourself. Let him come down to me. The guy is not saying, let's fight. Everybody, let's fight. Choose one. I'm here. Choose one. I dare. And he knew that nobody will agree. Will you see a 9 feet man? Even if it was your height, you will still battle. The man will be, where do you want to start from? Where do you want to chook? Where do you want to match? Permit my primary school English. Maybe it's chook. Those days, chook. The man will just carry you like this. Short people, you don't. Where will he fight? He to himself, where will he fight? Because you are not his level. You will do like this. No. So he will just kick you like ball. Get out, get out. That's what Goliath was. You know what? Goliath was talking so he can produce fear. I want to warn some of you about the things you say. You know, there are people in church, they don't stop talking about people, talking negatively. You know, and I was praying a few days ago, and God told me, he said, tell your children, people who are ready to leave their place of calling are the people who talk a lot or who listen to the wrong people. Be careful about people who come to you and say, have you heard gist? They won't tell you, like, they want to gossip. See, some of you are not yet confessing. You already use your mouth for gossip. At least confess. That people who gossip can never confess. Have you heard? Find out. Let's see. Something is telling me. And those who talk about it have no problem because they are children of darkness. But I'm concerned about those who hear it. I warned you as a theologian, never you stay where they're talking negatively about ministers. Never in your life. Never. And I'm saying this with all passion. Never in your life. Much more your pastor. I remember one, it was about last year or 2 years, last year something happened right here and somebody spoke about me. One of our leaders gave woman a slap. As he said, you talk about my pastor, we will die here today. Some of you don't know the meaning. Some of you to hate them and say, is it true? Gist me. you are a problem. Don't do that. It doesn't matter the minister, whether you know him or not, leave the place. I don't deal with people who talk negatively about people. And that's why in TLC, if you backbite, we say it's worse than the sin of witchcraft. We get you out of leadership. Don't just let's catch you, because if we catch you, your leadership has ended thus far. Thus far. You can't go any further. Whether it was about pastor or any of the pastors or any pastor anywhere, we get you out. You are a danger to us. Use your mouth to confess. Have you heard? Have you heard just? What did you hear? What's the latest? You know, that's why in TLC we don't do clubs. You know, all the stuff, even when we have gender programs, you know, these let's do anko, let's take dress, let's cook, let's, because that's where the thing starts. It's from mixing the rice. When there's no work, can you imagine? What's even happening in our church now? We don't do all this nonsense. No way. We have a program and we must eat. We'll give it to a caterer. That's where it starts. Meetings that have no end. That's the meaning. Start with people who talking nonsense. And some of you are bold enough to hear. I tell my pastors, I don't have a problem with you, because I know you can't talk. That's for the pastors. They can't, if they do that, they are backsliding. Now, but where I have an issue with them is that you even heard. So you can't hear any pastor come and say, "Pastor, I heard." You can't hear. How did you hear? Where were you that you heard? How did you enter the company of hearing? No way. It can't happen. It can't happen. Tell them about, use your mouth to confess. Let me show you now. We're going to close now. Next verse. You got to hear, say this. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, look at what Goliath is saying. Then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then he shall be. Look at the man said, if I kill your person, you'll be our servant. Why would they do anything else? Knowing that this man can kill everybody. He has provided fear in your heart. When people talk to you, be careful of what they are emitting to you. Not everybody is your friend. There are people whose words cannot produce faith. They only produce fear. I've told you, where your friends. Some of you, I don't know where you get friends from. They are enemies of your faith. See, my friend, you know what? As you see, next year like this, we are moving to our own house. Masile Modeko. Oh yeah. Out. See, it is when you are waiting and say, I don't like the out. Fight now.
Yes, sir.
And protect your faith.
Tell me, Pastor.
Stop harboring wrong people. It can't happen anytime soon. Eh? He came to someone and said, doctor said I had this, but now I know I'm healthy. You have to really do something about it too. That's the thing that killed Taiwo. And some of you still sit down with them and say, he killed Taiwo. You don't have faith anymore. Your faith is gone. Your faith is gone. The next verse. Look at this. I'll show you where I'm going. And the Philistines said, you have defied the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Next verse. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of Philistine, what happened? And what? Can you see now? When they heard what Saul was saying, oh my God, when will God give us people who will speak and men will have faith and be encouraged and not afraid? Hey! When Goliath spoke, they were afraid. But we needed a man. None amongst them could dislodge that fear until one small boy showed up. Now, I want to show you about the small boy. This is where I'm going. Next verse. Quickly. Next verse. Keep going on to ask you to stop. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Hold on. Okay, next verse. Next verse. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Next verse. Watch. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. David got there at the right time. Next verse. Hey. Next verse. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Now, I want to look at every action of David and make up your mind you will be like that. Next verse. Then as he, the first thing. Now, this is talking about Goliath. As he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. As David was talking to the first, when he got there, he started talking straight. You know this, I'm an introvert. You are killing destiny. I'm telling you the truth. See, someone says, that's how I was made. Stop talking that way. Nobody was made like that. Every man was made to talk like God. See, the devil is trying to give you a reason for not talking. He says, you know you're an introvert. You know you're a phlegmatic person. You are melancholy. You don't like talking. No way. Let melancholy mela. I need to talk. Next verse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. This is Israel. Next verse. Look at this now. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. We'll give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxing Israel. Next verse. I love this place. I've read this place more than 500 times. You know, I love this. This is one of my best passages in the Bible. I read. Then David spoke to the man. Listen, imagine if David said, I'm an introvert. Even though he was always in the wilderness with the sheep, he talks. David is one man that should have said he's a total introvert. Because even when they came to anoint his brothers, he was not there. He should have said he's the man who doesn't like socializing. But look at him. He spoke to the man who stood by him saying, the first thing he did was to inquire, sir, what shall be done? Let me give you a hint. Some of you here are saying, I don't know anybody has given testimony. I don't have testimony. There's no money in town. Your money is everywhere in this church. The thing you do, somebody by your side has been looking for that person. And you sit by him in church every time. And he's looking for a tiler. And you know how to tie. And you are shouting. And then, like, don't leave me there. I'm not a testimony. Even if I have testimony in this door. Continue. Just continue. And he's by your side. And in his mind in church, he's saying, Lord, I would like a tiler. I would like a tiler. And you are the tiler. And the Holy Ghost is saying, oh, welcome our brother's miracle. Our brother's miracle is here. The Holy Ghost brought him to sit by your side. So you can connect. You are now talking to yourself. Israel, everyone shall be testifying. One day me and testify. The Lord is on his throne. I shall testify. Continue. You know, have you heard people talk like that? They want you to pity them. The Lord is on, and they'll be talking Christianese language. Anyway, by his grace, we shall all be fine. The Lord says, say it to the right way, you shall be well with him. And where is well with me? Continue. The angel will come and use machine to open your mouth. Continue. Instead of you to just say, excuse me, my name is, what do you do? This is what I do. They did not put gum in your mouth. There's no ever stick in your mouth. They did not sew your mouth. And yet you are not talking. The devil is at work in your life. Look at David got there. He said, he just heard new. Simba, what shall be done to the man who kills this guy? Next verse, let me show you what happened. And the people answered him in this manner. Then they told him, because whenever you ask, you will get answers. Am I right? Next verse, look at now. Now his elder brother heard when he spoke to the man, and his anger was aroused against him. Said, why have you come down here? With whom have you led those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride. Can you see his brother trying to shut him down? I expected David to have said, I'm sorry. He says, come and give you something. I'm going home. I'm sorry. Next verse. And David said, Kimoshe o. Egba mi o. Kimoso o. Egba mi o. Kimoso o. Kini mo ti so o. Kini mo ti so o. Kini mo ti so o. Next verse. Kini mo se o. You just talk to somebody else. Hey, Oga. Hey. The thing that we're talking about. What did they say? You cannot shut me down, brother. You cannot shut me down. Somebody shout amen. When it comes to talking, my brother is not enough to shut me down. My father is not enough to shut me down. My mother is not enough to shut me down. Listen, I thought I was going to teach you something. The problem with many of us, when people talk like that, we start feeling guilty, thinking that we are boasting. Eliab was trying to make him feel he's boasting. What's your own? What have you come to do here? Who sent you here? Small boy. David could have said, sorry. In your heart, if you know, you'd have also said, it's true, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for asking. He told to somebody else. I beg, I want to hear again. What did you say? Ask the same thing. He asked the same question. As if he didn't hear the answer before. What did you say we happened to? And they answered in the same way again. Next verse. Let me now show you how the level to which he talked to. Next verse. When the words which David spoke were heard, how did they hear David's words? To the level where they had to take the words to Saul. Sir, let me remove my suit. I need to talk to somebody. If they are not hearing your talk in Aso Rock, sir, you have to start talking to a level where they will say you talk too much. Hey, sir, I was asking myself, what level did David get to that they were now saying they had to carry his words to the president? Say, these words are not ordinary words. When the words which David spoke were heard, if his brother had been successful, that would have been the head of David's testimony. But the Bible says he spoke again. Obviously, the Bible didn't want to start telling us. Must have spoke to over 100 people. He was not speaking stupid words. He was speaking faith words. What's the reward? Learn to speak the right words. Stop talking nonsense with your mouth. Talk the right things with your mouth. What this is the next thing. What shall be given to him? What's the benefit of? What's the blessing of? What's the reward of? That's faith-filled words. Look at, they reported them to Saul, and he sent, Saul had to send for David. Who is talking like this? Sir, it must not have, it wouldn't have been about the quantity of the words. It must have been the quality of the words. For Saul to have asked and sent for him, he was saying something that others were not saying. Sir, I will stop speaking like a loser. Let me tell you why I have to tell you this. Because many of us, listen, let me explain to you. Based on the background I come from, personally, we are made to feel these words are wrong words. We apologize for speaking well. Oh, can I show you one thing? Will you permit me? Open your Bible while standing. 1 Corinthians 1:31. Now, give me NKJV. 1 Corinthians 1:31. I want to show you something. Grace to you, 1 Corinthians 1:31. Is that the last verse? That as it is written, he who glories, let him do what? Put it to NIV. Get me to NIV. Therefore, as it is written, let him who what? Hold on. The meaning of this is that number one, I'm permitted to boast. You are boasting. Let him who boasts. You are boasting. Why are you boasting? Sir, let him who boasts. And let me, I've got to tell you this to help you. This is going to help your future. Why is it that we don't understand boasting? Because people, whenever they say you are boasting, they're actually saying you are glorying in yourself. If I don't have time, because of time, I won't be able to open all the verses for you. But let me quickly tell you this. If you read the verses before this, the first thing it was saying is that God has used the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Now, then Paul began to say, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. He was trying to say, we have nothing to glory about. Answer, I can't be talking big and you think I'm boasting about myself. Because in the first place, I beg, who am I? Where do I even come from in the first place? Who dashed my monkey banana? If not for the Holy Ghost inside of me, if not for what I carry on my inside. So brother, if you hear me talking, it's because of what lives inside of me. Hey, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Somebody shout amen. Listen. What did David do? David boasted real time. Somebody help me say real time. Let me show you those verses and we pray. Let me show you that he boasted. Go back to 1 Samuel 17. Let me show you. And now tell me whether an ordinary man would have spoken like that. Oh yeah, go there. The next verse, where we're reading. Quickly. 1 Samuel 17. Oh, these guys are slow. Are you there? Let's get the Bible here. Let me know when they are there. They're there. 1 Samuel. Thank you. When David was overwhelmed and overheard, reported Saul. Oh, it's also 31. Reported Saul, and Saul sent for him. Next verse. Look at him. Just imagine he's not talking about killing Goliath. Imagine that he's talking about IT. Just imagine that the guy is talking about IT. And this was an interview before the MD. And David said to Saul, you guys have a challenge. Don't stress yourself. All these biblical King James at times, it doesn't allow you to understand what the Bible is saying. I'll be interpreting my own words. David said to Saul, I don't know let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant, me, this small boy where they see here, this boy where they see here, I go finish Nana. They should allow me to interpret Bible to Wafi so that you will understand well. Next verse. Watch what he's saying. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine fighting, for you are a youth and he's a man of war from his youth. This is David. David, if you were David, they'll say,
it's true. Since when has he been fighting?
Next verse. Look at what he said. Next verse, quickly. But David said to Saul, sir, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. Now, look at, I want you to compare this to your Christianese language. Your father used to keep his, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came to take the lamb out of the flock, next verse. The Lord engraced me. By his special grace, I went after it. And then I delivered the lamb from his mouth. By grace, so not by power of my might. When he arose against me, fear catch me small, but thank God. God is forever praised. I caught it by his beard. Then the Lord gave me power. I struck it in Jesus' name. By faith, I killed it. That's the way you talk. Because you don't even have confidence in yourself. See, let me teach you something about boasting. God is not angry with your talking, with your boasting, as long as your boasting is in his name. Let me tell you, when I'm boasting about what certain things, I know it's about God. You can't know a man who is proud from outside. He's a thing of the heart. The reason why God did not fight David for talking this way is that God knew in his heart when he was saying, I cut his beard and struck and killed it, he was actually glorifying him, not himself. You see the end. You see what he said at the end. Next verse. Next verse. Quickly. We got to be fast now. We got to move. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the Lord. He's trying to take glory away from God. We will finish him. Sir, anything that wants to take the glory of God in your life has to be finished. Anything that will make people start wondering, but if he used to go to church now, Chevy, you are serving God now. Brother, it has to go. It has to go. That sickness is not bringing glory to God. It has to go. That poverty is not bringing glory to God. It has to go. That failure is not bringing glory to God. It has to go. Somebody shout yes. How will he go? Not by saying, anyway, sha, by the special grace of God, I'm believing and hoping that in the name of Jesus, it will go. What kind of language is that? With all the things God told you, that name, all these things, we are more than conquerors. Did you hear what it says? That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You don't beg poverty, you put poverty in his place. I wish I were talking to somebody here. How many wealthy billionaires are in the house here today? Lift up your hands and shout hallelujah! I don't have time. I'll show you some other verses. Next week I'll show you. But let me quickly say this. The talk of David to the people was different from the talk of David to Saul, and was different from the talk of David to Goliath. I will show you next week. Yes. I will show you the difference in the talks next week. Brethren, let me tell you something. I'm speaking as sent by the Holy Ghost. There are people in here. You will not leave this door without your miracle. Are you in the spirit with me? Are you in the spirit with me? You want to worship God? See, for just 5 minutes, listen. This place is going to scatter. Let me tell you why. The glory of God is all over this auditorium. If you can't see it, I can see it. I can see it. Let me tell you why some of you are going to receive your miracles this week. I showed you something in the scriptures. Was it a few days ago? In our discovery word. I told you some miracles are not instant. How many of you remember? It's a process. Jesus laid hands on a blind man. Said, can you see? Said, I still can't see you. But it's as if I'm saying, man, They are walking like trees. That's a process. Was it that Jesus didn't have the power of causing his eyes to open at once? No. It's because he was trying to show you that it's not everything that is instant. Some is just a process. From blindness to seeing men walking as trees, then to seeing men walking clearly. Listen to me. I'm prophesying by the Spirit of God. Some of you, tonight your miracles will be instant. Some of you, you are shifted to the next level of your miracle tonight. Listen, we're going to do three things to round up this meeting. We want to worship God heavily. Let me tell you something. I've known God a while, not much. I can't know much about him. He's too massive to be known. But the little part of God that I've known, I know his majesty. I know his greatness. God is too great to be phantomed. Great are you, Lord, greatly to be praised.
Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord, greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Father, you reign.
Hold on. Hold on. We're going to worship 5 minutes. Hold on. Holy Spirit. Three things. The first thing, as the worship goes on, if you're here, you're not born again. Please let me pray for you tonight. Don't let it pass tonight. Listen, this is not about your friend. It's not about your neighbor. If you have a relationship with God, I want to teach you something that will bless you the rest of your life. As the worship goes on, you are the first set of people I want to pray for. Just leave your seat. Come and meet me here. I will pray for you. Forget about who's by your side. Now, immediately after praying for you, I'm going to release a grace into the atmosphere. I was asking God. I said, Lord, do you know how awesome God is? We looked for a land for long. I knew God was working out something, but I couldn't fathom it. I was getting tired. I said, Lord, what's happening? The land we got now, all the churches around, they've been asking questions. What is happening? How did these people? We were on the line yesterday. Some people came to make inquiries. I said, they are looking for the land. He said, it's gone. It's not available. It's not about the land. It's about the fact that every church there has one plot. You got 3 plots. Today, we agreed on the next 2 plots for parking space. In a place where all the churches park on the road. Let me tell you something. When God wants to arrange for you, forget about who is fighting you. They can't go far. I wish I were talking to somebody here. See, I've told you several times. It's not because we are most intelligent or whatever. There's a level of faith. There's a level of faith that the devil cannot quench. Are you hearing me? In your life tonight, as I pray, whatever it is you're trusting God for, just have that picture in your heart. Because as I pray, and as your faith connects with what I see, there's going to be an outburst of miracles. So I want to ask you a question. The third thing is we give an offering and go home. I want to ask you a question. Can you worship God for who he is? Brethren, if you're here, you don't yet believe what I'm saying, you need to be prayed for. If you don't believe that God is real, I've seen too much than to know that God is not a man that he should lie. See, go back what I'm saying. Some of you will get home tonight. The message you have been waiting for is going to land in your phone tonight. Between Sunday and now, I've heard some crazy testimonies. How many of you here thought service last Sunday? Did you hear those testimonies? Did you hear that testimony of a woman who misplaced her son for how long? 2.5 years was looking for the boy, and she came for Rema night. She said, as I was preaching, she was crying. I said, Lord, the only thing is let me see my child. And then they took car, took her home. When they dropped her at a bus stop, she was supposed to take a route. Then she said, it's too late. I told her, I won't apologize for finishing late anymore. Who knows what God is doing with it? She got to the junction and said, it's too late to pass this way. Let me take this way. She took that way with her other child. All of a sudden, she heard a child crying. This kind of testimonies can make you faint. The child was crying. It was the younger son that said, Mommy, is this not Farouk's voice? Said she listened to it well. It looked like magic. She left the place, went towards where the child was, and saw a child on a mat without anybody there. Just carrying a child and went home. Sir, if anybody tells you God is not real, beat him before answering him. God is forever real. Can I pray for you? I declare within the next 48 hours, God will show up in your life.